Good morning. Welcome to the June 28th episode of MSP Dispatch, hosted by yours truly, Ray Rossini, joined as always by my inimitable co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, brother?
Excellent. Excellent. It's June 28th. It's the end of June, what some people call very hot in Florida here. Very hot. So hot.
And, How are you doing? I'm good, man. Is the rule in Florida summers, somebody's AC is supposed to die. Mine is good, so I assume yours is going south.
Mine died yesterday, which not to throw out the medical term, but that's like a stage 8 cancer. You've got minutes. It's literally you have minutes before you die here. So it's on its last leg, and got somebody out training it. Enough of that. Let's get into the news.
A survey by Smarter MSP in a story by Mike Vizard of Smarter MSP shows that 1,007 decision makers across small to medium sized enterprises shows what they're interested in, what they're concerned about. The highlights are 88% of respondents are using an MSP or considering adopting one in the near future. 27% rely on an MSP to completely manage their environment. That means no co-manage, means 100% MSP management. The benefits of using an MSP include, according to the surveyed respondents, 70% credit MSPs with providing better security, 53% credit MSPs for a better user experience, 37% make the IT decision maker's job easier, 33% ease IT management. In a breakdown of the workforce, 47% have workers in the office, 25% are fully remote, and 33% are working hybrid. As to what concerns these respondents, 59% say security is a top concern. I think they haven't been watching MSP Dispatch. That should be closer to 150%. 48% say device management is a concern. 48% are also concerned about remote or hybrid employees. And the highlight here, 66% believe adding security will make it more cumbersome. Tony, MSPs are always asking how to differentiate themselves. It seems like this article from Smarter MSP and this poll gives a beautiful recipe on exactly what's on the minds of the people they're selling to. What would you do with this information if you were an MSP?
There's so much to unpack here, Ray. I'm reminded of, for those of you who have seen Ted Lasso, what is the happiest animal on the earth? The goldfish. The reason is the goldfish has an 8-second memory. They just can't remember, and then they come. Oh, look at, hi. Hi. The same thing occurs with security, and everybody is so distracted in their day-to-day operations of their life and all of the distractions every single day that they seem to forget all the things that are happening with security and all the operational underpinnings that make their business, frankly, functional. I am fascinated by the amount, the volume, the frequency of security posts that we post, we talk about here in MSP Dispatch, and it doesn't stop. This is an ideal opportunity for the MSP to return to the customer over and over and over, maybe every 8 seconds. And there's something refreshing there, talking about, this is what we can do for you. This is what we're going to do for you. This is what we should do for you. These security concerns are never ending. They never stop. And the MSP's involvement in the not only back-end security education process, but the front-end translation to the end customer and connecting the well-being of their customer and the true passionate care for their customer to the education exposure that they have on the back-end security, and how they're going to create that bridge, how they're going to create that path to resolution and keep their customer safe, should be discussed as often as possible. And these statistics clearly put a highlight on that. Ray, am I going too far on that? Am I not going far enough? Give me your opinion.
I mean, I can only imagine it's a goldfish with an 8-second memory that says only 59% are concerned about security. That's mind-boggling to me,
I think it was the same 50%. They just got asked 8 seconds later, and they may have changed their mind.
Because we talked to our good friends, John Hammond, Jason Slagle, Matt Lee. you know, people that know their stuff in security, and they would never say they're 100% secure. You know what I mean? So it's like, if they're worried, I mean, within reason, if they're worried about stuff on a daily basis, that to me screams that 41% are not paying attention. So maybe there's some educational opportunity there. When I see 66% believe adding security will make it more cumbersome, but the counterpart to that is, what was it? We had 53% credit MSPs for a better user experience. That those to me are the highlights. That's where the MSPs, I think, would focus or should focus and say, okay, well, we know security is a concern. There's a perceived, it's more cumbersome, but we can possibly make that a better user experience. And the MSP is exactly positioned on how to make that better. That's how I would lead into these conversations. You know, security is a priority. We can do it. We can add it to your ecosystem. We can add it to the way your business operates without creating an unnecessary burden on your business efficiency. And that, to me, I've yet to see an MSP that opens the door and has that conversation. That's exactly how I'd walk in. But we want to know how you MSPs, how are you going to use this information? Hit us up in the comments. Some of the comments on the Smarter MSP blog were actually pretty nice. One of them was saying that finally MSPs get the credit they deserve. And I wholeheartedly agree. Kudos to the MSPs doing this stuff. But let us know in the comments. We want to hear from you. Speaking of how MSPs are operating, there's some significant partner changes over at HP. What's that about, Tony?
HPE releases a new partner program for as-a-service solution providers. George Hope, HPE's worldwide head of partner sales, talks about this. And the tracks within Partner Ready Vantage are built around what partners do versus traditional categories like reseller, distributor, and ISV. Quote, we're shifting the focus away from partner types and more towards the business model. The business tracks, for example, serves partners who offer products and IP based on HPE platform technologies. The sell track, meanwhile, is for partners that sell as a service solution, while the service track is for partners that supports them. Members can mix and match the tracks as it suits their needs for their specific capabilities and the go-to-market strategy. Quote, our partners reminded us at our partner advisory board a month ago that simple wins at the end of the day, and we need to be easier to do business with. An interesting example of this is the Microsoft track. They've done quite a few restructures on this. And Ray, I want to start unpacking this with you. Microsoft has the data and AI with their Azure track, their infrastructure Azure track, their digital and app innovation Azure track, their business application track, their modern work track, and their security track. That's their new focus. HPE has simplified this down to three tracks: their build track, their sell track, and their service track. Ray, have the changes that are being made, have they created an impact up until this point, or is this the nudge that's needed? Is this the top-down leadership simplifying things for the end reseller, for people trying to resell, frankly, the same technology, but in a very specific way? And they're no longer categorized by an MSP, TSP, VAR, whatever they may be. They're categorized now by their business model. Is this the push that's needed to enable the reseller, the channel, to do something a little bit more productive, seen from the top down?
So I want to be careful with my words here, because many times the MSPs and, you know, ITSPs, VARs, TSPs, whatever you want to call them, they're following the partner program requirements, and then they're building their business around those requirements, right? It's not uncommon to, you know, we look at the NCE changes from Microsoft, we look at the partner program changes from Microsoft with the seven different tracks, many of them surrounding around Azure. But here, you know, one thing that I always see is the vendors are trying to qualify MSPs based on certain criteria and then say, you're this type of MSP, you're this type of TSP, you're a VAR, you're whatever it is. However, in my experience and working with MSPs, they're not one thing. You know, most of them, yes, they sell services, I don't know a single MSP that sells services and doesn't also sell products. I don't know a single MSP that only sells products. There's VARs that do it. And then they sell professional services on top of it. So it makes me wonder the viability of something like this. Are you trying to look and see what kind of in your partners, what they sell more of, and then qualify them based on that? But I have to question the value of it though, right? Because, okay, if you sell more services, and you know, most MSPs should be more services and products, absolutely. But if you sell more services, are you a service based, a service track HP partner, but then you're also selling, if you sell hardware, are you getting less discounts? Like that doesn't make sense to me. I'm sure HPE, they're, you know, is a smart company. They know what they're doing. They have some reason behind it. Maybe we'll lean on some of our friends from HP to maybe come on and discuss this a little more in detail, show us what I'm missing. But as an MSP today, I don't see the point. I don't see the benefit. I don't see how this changes how the MSP is going to do business today.
Well, that's my reverse ask, which is this just a simple rebrand? Why would I do this? and in some cases it is. However, you know, that law of entropy seems to apply in most cases where you know, natural disorder will occur unless checked regularly. And so the question really is this a way to put everything in such a simplified format and structure that it needs to be checked less? It allows people to do more, or is this overcomplicating things by categorizing a forced silo based on a business model and less specific on the type of reseller in the channel? And where, in fact, if one simple attribute is displaced, the entire structure will fall. I'm really curious, you know, how this plays out, but I would love to hear the feedback from the channel community. I would love to hear from those actually reselling HPE involved in their channel program. Do you anticipate this to be something that's going to make you more powerful, more successful, more efficient? For those that are also Microsoft channel partners, what's the comparison? Is this moving into that simpler lane where you now have a laser focus, or is it making things a little bit more complicated because now you have to define your business model a little bit more in order to communicate that for their team? So with that, Ray, let's jump into the next story. This is interesting.
Our next topic here at MSP Dispatch, I want to talk about something that is definitely a sensitive topic. It is something that everyone has political, personal, religious opinions on. And our goal at MSP Dispatch is not to touch those subjects. We are not going to get into that. However, we are going to get into the way businesses are affected by these events. So if you are kind enough to leave commentary in the comments below or shoot us feedback at our various channels, please keep that in mind. We will not be addressing political, personal, religious opinions. We are only discussing how it affects business. Of course, I'm talking about the landmark event 4 days ago, where after 49 years, the Supreme Court has reversed the historic 1973 decision of Roe versus Wade. However, we are going to be discussing how businesses are responding. First, we have Meta, that has reportedly barred employees from discussing abortion on internal channels. According to the New York Times, Meta has advised employees are not to discuss this hot button topic. Meta reportedly advised it said it would not allow open discussion about abortion within the workplace due to the heightened risk of creating a hostile work environment. It also went on to delete messages on its internal communications tools related to the topic. Meta has also advised employees it would reimburse the travel expenses of employees in need of access to out-of-state healthcare and reproductive services to the extent permitted by law. Similarly, Google tells workers they can relocate without justification following the Supreme Court decision. Chief People Officer Fiona Ciccone said workers could apply for relocation without justification, and those managing the request would be aware of the situation. Ciccone also reminded Google employees that their benefits plans cover medical procedures that may not be available in the state where they live and work. She went on to say, "This profound change for the country that deeply affects so many of us, especially women, everyone will respond in their own way, whether that's wanting space and time to process, speaking up, volunteering outside of work, not wanting to discuss it at all, or something else entirely." Tony, moves like this seem like they would not have been feasible years ago. For an employee in your office to say, "I'm going to move across state, but I still want to continue working for your company," that would have been laughed off. right? But now we're in this, we're still going through COVID, but we're in the post-COVID advent society where we have hybrid workers, we have remote only in companies. It seems like this is something that's possible today that would not have been possible 5 years ago. You know, and so when things like this happen, businesses are much more agile to be able to respond to things like this. What's your take on these events?
Ray, I can't describe how important this conversation is, and not for the reason that everyone is thinking. Right now, we have a few people that are sitting on the edge of their seats saying, well, what's going to happen? This is such a hot topic, Roe v. Wade, the overturn, et cetera, et cetera. I want everyone to understand that it was a trigger event, meaning it pushed something over the precipice that Ray just mentioned. And this is evolutionary at every level. Yesteryear, if you had a problem with the state laws, the county laws, the city laws, whatever it may have been, relocating was not easy, especially if you had a family involved. Your job, your house, everything involved is not easy to relocate. With the advent of the internet, it definitely lowered the barriers, the physical barriers. COVID completely destroyed the concept of geographical barriers. However, the job itself was still localizing you to a point. This Roe v. Wade topic has almost forced, in some capacity, the top level to create a policy that can trickle down and work hand in hand with the new technology enablers that we have witnessed over the last decades, allowing the end family, the end user, to go wherever they see fit. That was never before possible. And I can't describe how important this is to witness. Of course, the focus, the distraction is going to be on the Roe v. Wade and whatever your political or religious beliefs are in that particular, you know, the political side is overwhelming. Let's get rid of that. Let's talk about the possibilities now. And we have a first step forward from the top down. We just talked about Microsoft and HPE creating a new partner program that can simplify things, and it'll have a drastic impact and ripple throughout the channel. That's top down. This is top down coming from Google that's saying, hey, listen, if you want to go somewhere, you can. That's one thing to say. It's another thing to do. But we now have all the operational mechanisms to make that happen, and so much easier than it ever was before in the history of the human existence. So Ray, there's a lot of questions that I have, and I would love to go into debate. And I know there's going to be some people making comments, and they're going to be talking about trying to, you know, pull the trigger of, you know, asking our opinions on the Roe v. Wade. And I applaud the conversations, but that's not what this is about, Ray. Are we on the same topic? Because I think this is a huge, huge happening. It's not because of Roe v. Wade. It's immediately following that. What are your thoughts?
It's, you know, it's very much, you know, and I do not want to minimize, I'm being very cautious with my words here. I do not want to minimize the Supreme Court decision. Absolutely not. I'm the father of a daughter engineer. We all have women in our lives that have, you know, have a huge impact on our lives, especially our mothers. But, you know, staying away from that, I do want to liken it to like the HP conversation we were just having, where changing their partner programs, is it really going to affect how MSPs work their business, how they provide services or products or the decisions they make? Well, you know, these decisions, the Roe v. Wade reversal, you know, and these businesses saying, well, we're just going to pivot. We're going to move it to, we're going to make changes so we can still take care of our employees and we can provide our employees the, I hate to call healthcare a benefit, it shouldn't be, but, you know, we can provide these benefits to our employees, give what's important to them, no matter where they live, no matter where they reside, no matter where they're working from. You know, I think that's a very meaningful thing, you know, especially in this employee first environment that we're in today, right? We call it employees are the ones in charge today because this environment suits them best, where employers are struggling to find the best employees. Seeing these employers being able to be malleable to the needs of those employees is very meaningful. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that. This is just one example, but I'm curious to see how future businesses respond. Again, we invite all the comments, hit us up, news@mspmedia.tv. Hit us up in the comments below or any of the socials. We definitely want to hear how your business or your clients' businesses are pivoting in response to this, if they're doing any kind of reaction to how they provide services. But again, we want to stay away from the political, religious, or personal commentary on these decisions. With that said, Tony, we have quite a few notable mentions. What do we got going on, man?
We do. We've got an interesting CISA alert. CISA has created an emergency alert saying that healthcare organizations that are using the Office, that's OFFIS, DCMTK software, should deploy updates immediately in light of recently discovered security vulnerabilities. If you're an MSP that's working in the healthcare industry, please, please, please update that software. Another notable mention is one that I would love to talk about further, but we'll make this as quick as possible. In siliconangle.com, there's an article that posts a cybersecurity research has developed a new phishing technique that can bypass MFA. It can steal basically everything on your computer with an MRD0X injected JavaScript keylogger. There's nothing that can really be done outside of the policies. I would have an entire editorial commentary on this. Ray and I were talking about this offline. Please, as an MSP out there, please inform your users to not click on or download things or install plugins into the browser that are unvalidated. So security, security, security. There's so many stories out there. We can't cover them all, but at the very least, we want everyone to stay safe, try to be as secure as possible, teach everyone everything that you can about security, and try not to be a goldfish.
I was just thinking that you, since you went longer than 8 seconds, you may have to repeat that one more time for those goldfish out there. 59%. But maybe we'll get Simon to put all the security stuff in one just like looping video for like several hours.
Can we break this up into 8 second increments and we could literally have all of these refreshing the news stories for the audience? Maybe we just service the goldfish community. Maybe that's our new audience.
MSP Dispatch, your source for goldfish news. I like it. I can hear Simon screaming right now. Well, while we're mulling that over, let's get into the community events. June 27th to June 30th, we have the Channel Strong Tour in the Northeast, Part 1. On June 29th, 11 a.m. Eastern, Channel Pitch presented by the Channel Program. June 30th, 1 p.m., MSP Live Chat, Timely Tactics for Powering Through a Downturn, presented by Ninja One. I will be on that panel, so come and join me. July 1st, Tony and I are back with the week wrap-up. And also on July 1st, 5 p.m. Eastern, the latest episode of 38 at 38, featuring Miss Vicky Bruns of ConnectWise. So very much looking forward to that. Tony, I think that's all she wrote for this for today's episode. Thank you so much for your commentary and insight. I appreciate you, man.
Love you, brother. Hey, everyone. This there's so much happening right now. There's so many things to talk about. Stay updated here. MSP Dispatch, we've got it all covered. Sometimes we have Batman. Sometimes we have Goldfish. Sometimes we are Batman and Goldfish.
And we'll put Tony's Cash App if you want to contribute to his new AC. Or I can only imagine he's got his boys and Kelly with the palm fronds in the side in the background, you know, trying to cool them off.
But I'm not wearing any clothes under this. I just want everyone to know that.
I said that. As it should be. And with that, thank you so much, MSP audience. Take care of yourselves and each other.
See y'all.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
MSP Dispatch, hosted by yourself. Wow. I don't know who's hosting MSP Dispatch after how many freaking episodes. Okay.
I think let's you struggled with yourself. I think you struggled with hosted by.
It's hosted by you, by the MSP audience. You are hosting this MSP Dispatch. I'm out.